Our guest today is Senator Harry P. Kane, who for 3 years has been a member of the Subversive Activities Control Board of the federal government in Washington, and who has been very active in developing ways of protecting your rights and mine, the things we call civil liberties. Senator, I wonder if you could give us an example of what happens when a man's civil liberties are denied.
Some months ago, a young man and his attorney, well, he was about 50 years of age, but young in spirit and physically able and all the rest of it, came to see me and said that they had outstanding before the State Department a petition for reconsideration on a decision which a year and a half before had separated this gentleman from the federal service. Of course I was interested. They ought to have a right to go to anybody in authority and plead their case, and because they came to me, I said, sit down and let's take a look at this. What is the problem? It developed that about a year and a half before, this man with 28 years of an otherwise blameless service record with the Foreign Service end of this government was accused of having revealed classified information to an unauthorized source or sources, admittedly a very serious charge. Well, with 28 years of this faithful federal service behind him, he thought all he needed as a defense was the truth. So he didn't bother to get himself an attorney. He was heard over a period of 2 or 3 weeks. He was never told who had said that he had revealed this information, nor was he told where it had allegedly been revealed or when. Several months after the hearing was over, the hearing board found against him, and he was separated, and it cost him all his vested, built-up interest in the retirement and disability fund and all the rest. In due time then, because he was a man of considerable courage, he went out and got an attorney, and between the two of them, they became Sherlock Holmes. It took them about 6 months, as I recall, to find out that the alleged misdemeanor, and a very serious charge it was, had taken place in this man's own home on a day certain back in 1952, I think it was. And they found out who the single accuser had actually been.
They didn't find that out from the government. That is, they didn't get help from the government.
That is the point I am making, Mr. Randall. Yeah. This man had been separated, found guilty, and practically destroyed before, in his own ingenuity, he and his attorney went out and started to build a case in his own defense, on his own. After they had dug up the information which, in their opinion, justified a reconsideration of this whole case, because the person to whom it was alleged that he had revealed this classified information submitted a sworn affidavit that no such conversation ever took place. It wasn't until after the petition for reconsideration had been outstanding for more than a year than I ever heard anything about this. Well, now to make a long story short, I and others got interested in it. The matter was reconsidered. It was reheard sufficiently so that the man was found innocent some 2 years after he had been found guilty, and he was restored without prejudice as though nothing had ever happened. Now, the point I have made in the first place is that this was unnecessarily unfair to the individual because, A, they could have told him with precision what he was charged with. They could have required his accuser to face him, and they could thereafter have taken action with dispatch on whatever their final verdict was going to be. In that instance, and one instance is too many in a free society, we, in the harshest fashion, impose governmental brutality and oppression on an individual without, if you're looking for justification, Mr. Randall, helping our national security in any way, shape, or form. Those for whom I speak are advocating firmness on the part of the government, with fairness by the government extended to those of its citizens whom, for one reason or another, it thinks may be security risks on the basis of their potential future conduct.
You feel that in one case like this, where the man had the money and the ingenuity and the motive to dig this up for himself, that there were other cases like that where a man would just take
it. Mr. Randall, this gentleman had ingenuity and he had courage and he had moral strength, but he didn't have any money. But because he kept looking, plowing the vineyard, he found an attorney who, on faith and nothing else, was so moved by the man's story and the man's obvious right to reconsideration that he defended and protected and fought for him until that case eventually was won without the payment of a single solitary dollar.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Senator Kane. It is heartening to know that things like this happen even in the midst of the mistakes that are so often made in denying.
We will make fewer mistakes in the future because we point out and recognize and admit the mistakes of the present.
That's right. You've had a chance to chat with Senator Harry P. Kane, for 3 years member of the Subversive Activities Control Board of the federal government. This is Edmund Randall speaking for the American Friends Service Committee.